our Bibles and go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This time of year, there's a lot of lights everywhere you go, a lot of decorations everywhere you go. But this morning, we're going to look at the true light of the world, Jesus Christ. So John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4 through 9. So John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. The Bible says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Father, we do thank you again this morning just for allowing us to be gathered together. Thank you for the week that you brought us through. But Lord, we do ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. But Father, you said in your word that if we would commit our ways unto you, you would establish our thoughts. And we do commit, Lord, this hour unto you. I commit, Father, just the preaching of your word. I can't do it in my own wisdom and strength. But Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us and guide us. And Father, help me to speak the words you want me to speak. Help us, Lord, as we go through the scriptures. I pray, Lord, again, our thoughts will be drawn to you. Our hearts will be lifted up towards you. I pray that you bless the kids in junior church. Open up their understanding of the Bible lesson, drawing their hearts unto you. And I pray, Father, that you would bless each person here, Lord, as they continue to strive to live their life for you and to live every day with the consciousness that Christ is with them and you're guiding us and leading us. Lord, you are the strength of our life, and we thank you for it. Help us, Lord, to continue to lean upon you, but thank you for the joy that comes through knowing you as our Savior. Thank you for the peace that we have that passes all understanding because of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, you would bless our time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that you already know this, that Jesus is the light of the world, but I want to go through this morning, what light does. Light reveals, light reflects, and we want to make sure that we're reflecting the light of Christ in our life towards others. But I found some interesting things about light this past week as I was studying for this message. There's seven properties of light that really even depict Jesus Christ, because who created light? The Lord did. I mean, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, obviously those that professed themselves to be wise became fools because they said in their heart that there is no God. You can't help but come to the real conclusion when you look at nature, you look at everything in life and even yourself, there has to be a God in heaven who created all of this. And the fact that he didn't just create it, but he created it for us to enjoy it. So enjoy the life that God's given you, but enjoy it as you walk with the Lord. And as you look at nature, thank the Lord even for light, because light is good. I love light. I love it so much that I collect flashlights. It's artificial light. It's not the real light, but I love bright flashlights. I don't like the bright bulbs on these new cars that blind you as they're coming to you, and you throw your brights on because you think their brights are on, and they throw on their brights, and it's like, oh, okay. Put the brights back down because that's, you know, it's even more blinding, all right? But we love light because with light we can see things. Light encourages people. But the Bible does say in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Why? Because darkness is no good. The only thing darkness is good for is sleeping. I like it real dark when I go to bed at night. And unfortunately, sometimes I have to go to bed when it's still daylight because I have to get up early enough to go to FedEx, and I need it real dark so you get those darkening curtains. But I love light because you don't want to walk through a room without light. You want the light on so you can see the toys that the kids have left on the floor so you don't step on them, as I do occasionally going down the stairs to the basement and stepping on, I think last night I did that, went downstairs and my grandson left some of his Paw Patrol figurines at the bottom of the step. So the last place I put my foot was on top of, I forget which one it was, I think it was Marshall, this German Shepherd Paw Patrol. It hurt, right? It hurt. But I still love the boy. He's still my grandson. I haven't disowned him. But light is good because you can see where you're going. But here's seven properties of light that God created. That God created. Light is constant. Light is constant. Light is incorruptible. Light dominates darkness. Again, I'm glad it is. Wherever there light is, it dominates darkness. It doesn't matter if you go into a very dark room, all right, and then turn on your cell phone. It's going to illuminate part of that, right? Because light, and again, that's artificial light, but again, light dominates darkness, and it's God's darkness, or God's light, excuse me, God's light that dominates darkness. Light never fails. Light never fails. Light makes all things visible. Light makes things understandable. And light makes life possible. Those seven properties of light, really, it speaks about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ makes life possible, right? He is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. His light in you helps you to understand your purpose in this world. That is to have a relationship with your Creator through your Savior, Jesus Christ. He makes all things visible. He shows you things in your life that you did not realize were even there at different times. You didn't realize it was wrong. You didn't realize it was hindering your relationship with the Lord. You know, somebody once said, and it's true, that the closer you get to Jesus Christ, who's the light, the more that's revealed in you. I've heard many Christians, and I've even talked to the Lord at different times about this. You know, seems like the more you get closer to the Lord, it seems like, I've heard Christians say this, it seems like the more I get closer to the Lord, the more I sin. And it's like, no, it's not that you're sinning more, it's just the closer you get to the light, the more is being revealed that you didn't realize was sin in your life. You didn't realize you were doing those things. Because when you look at Paul's life, now Paul was a murderer, but yet he was chosen by Jesus Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But when you read through the epistles of Paul, Paul gets to the end of his life and talks about being the chiefest of sinners. Because the closer he got to Christ, the more he saw that was wrong with him. He never lifted himself up in pride thinking that he had arrived and he was the greatest of all apostles. He said he was the least of all the apostles. He was the chiefest of sinners. So as you get closer to the Lord, as your relationship grows with the Lord, and you find yourself realizing, really being shown by the Lord, things in your life that you didn't realize was sin, you didn't realize it was a hindrance to your life, don't get frustrated. Don't get down on yourself. Just thank the Lord. He's still working on you. He's still showing things in your life that's going to help you become more like Christ. But again, the light of Christ really is. His light is constant. It dominates the darkness in our life, and I'm glad for that. It's incorruptible. Because you know what? His light, you can't corrupt it. It's incorruptible. But I want you to look at this morning at verses 4 and 5 as we just look at light and Jesus Christ being the light of the world, that he reveals things. The light reveals. In verse 4 and 5, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. As Jesus walked on this earth, people just didn't realize. Some were drawn to him because he's the light, but others just did not. They did not want anything to do with him because their deeds were evil. They'd rather be in darkness than in light. But those that enjoyed the light of Jesus Christ in the days he walked upon this earth, man, they enjoyed good company. They had great things happening in their life, but yet there were times even Peter would fall down at Jesus' feet and say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. When Jesus would rebuke the winds and the waves, that's when Peter would fall down and say, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Because Jesus is God in the flesh, and he revealed the Father to the disciples because he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They saw the compassion of the Father. They saw the love of the Father. Because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. So the love of the Father was shown through Jesus Christ, the Son. But the Bible says in Matthew 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. So they saw the Father. They saw the light of the world. They saw Jesus Christ. He exposed man's sin while he was here on this earth. That's why the Pharisees hated him. He exposed their pride. He exposed their greediness. He exposed their hateful tendencies and their evil, wicked hearts, and they just wanted to get rid of him. But he exposes man's sin. Again, the closer you get to the light, the more things that are revealed in your life, because he wants you to become more like him. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lots of people don't want their deeds to be reproved, their evil deeds. They don't want you to know the sin in their life. But Jesus exposes that. Aren't you glad, though, even though he exposes sin in our life, there's grace? Because where sin abounded, there's grace. I mean, as the Pharisees would just bring this woman caught in the very act of adultery, cast her at his feet, they wanted him to condemn her. The law says she must die, but what do you say? I'm so glad she found grace in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he extended grace to her when her accusers left because of their guilty conscience, as Jesus would say, well, whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone, and not one of them did. But he's writing in the sand. You ever wonder what it was he was writing in the sand? I believe it's some names. Names of men who had been with the woman that were standing there among the Pharisees. That's just my opinion. Bible doesn't say it, but they all went away guilty. They didn't cast a stone, all right? But he says to the woman, where are thine accusers? She says, they're not here. And he says, go and sin no more. She received the grace of Jesus Christ. The light, though, exposed the sin of the men and those around. The light was not understood in the days of Jesus Christ. He would come to his own, and his own would receive him not. I mean, all the miracles he did, I mean, just even the miracle of the virgin birth. I mean, babies are born at different times. Not all babies are born at night. Some are born in early in the morning, noontime, afternoon. I mean, some of our kids, you know, born at different times. I was always glad when they weren't born at night. Our oldest son, it was 3 o'clock in the morning when he woke us up. Woke us up, I say, you know, because his mother needed to go to the hospital, all right? But again, Jesus chose nighttime. Think about that, for Mary to give birth. Because the light of the angels would shine. Now, the light of the glory of God shines brighter than noonday sun. Paul testifies of that. But think about the fact that it's nighttime when the angels show up to the shepherds. They are afraid. They're told, be not afraid. They're told of the good news that Christ is born. And they go down into the city and they come to the stable and they see the babe lying in the manger. They see the Savior of the world. They stare into the face of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Many misunderstand it, but I don't think you do. I think you understand that the light of Christ is what lights your life. It is what gives you an abundance of life, because it's Christ in you. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, the Bible says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Again, even though he robed himself in human flesh, he never ceased being God. Now, even though his glory, except on Mount Transfiguration, as it shined on Mount Transfiguration, and Peter and James and John saw him in his glory on the Mount Transfiguration, you go back to the Old Testament, it's Moses on Mount Sinai that's asking God, show me your glory. And God says, no, but I'll let you see my hinder part. I'll let you see my backside, because if you saw my front, if you saw my face, you'd die. So he puts Moses in the cleft of the rock, puts his hand over it, walks past, removes his hand, and lets him see the backside of his glory. But yet they still, the shepherds still were looking into the face of God. They still were looking at the one whose light lights every man that comes into this world, whose light expels the darkness in a person's life. The very one who is going to destroy evil in the last days and cast Satan into his permanent place of residency in the lake of fire. But the light was not accepted in the days of the apostles, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not, Jesus says in John 8. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who was not a believer, but they felt uncomfortable around you. They felt like you were judging them, though you weren't saying anything, because the light of Christ was illuminated in your life. Because Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. Not our light that we have any, but the light of Christ in us. Because it is the light of Christ shining through us that testifies of Jesus Christ. Now, we have a word of a testimony. We speak to people about Jesus Christ. But it's the light in you that testifies loud and clear that you are a child of the King, that you do have a relationship. I mean, it's a light that the visible eye cannot see. One day we will see the glory of God as it illuminates the New Jerusalem and illuminates all of eternity. And there's no need for the physical sun. There's no need for the reflection of the moon. But it is the glory of God that spiritually people can see. People can see. You ever found it amazing? I still find it amazing that when you meet another believer that you've never seen before, but they sure do look familiar. Have we met before? Have you gone to this place? I mean, we got to know each other, but truly, we've never met before, but it's the Spirit in them. It's the Holy Spirit in them, right, that testifies that we are of the family of God. It's a wonderful thing, but the light, Jesus Christ, reveals God and reveals darkness in man. Look at verse 8 and 9 of John chapter 1. The light reflects, all right? The light reflects. In verses 8 and 9, it says, he was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now we know that the moon reflects the light from the sun. The moon has no source of light of itself. But when you think about the source, all right, the sun being the source, God is light. It's a wonderful thing that God uses nature to testify of himself and to testify of Christ. Just thinking about it, I forget the three stars, but there are three stars. I could be wrong. I should have looked this up, but the North Star. Could be wrong. I think the North Star is the one that's three stars that makes one. All right. I think I may be wrong. So anyway, there is a star, a bright star, that once you get closer to it looking through a telescope, powerful telescope, you see it's actually three different stars that make the brightness of the one. Doesn't the Bible say that nature testifies of the Lord, testifies of the Creator? So don't worry about somebody in the deepest, darkest jungle of Africa that's never had a missionary come to their village. God's not willing that any should perish. He He testifies of himself through his creation, all right? Through his creation. But when you think about God being the source of light, all right? God is the source of light spiritually for us. This 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I'm glad that there's no darkness in the Lord. What was it that led the wise men to Jerusalem? It was the star. We call it the Star of Bethlehem, but the bright star that led them from the east all the way to Jerusalem, and then when they get to Jerusalem, it disappears, and they're asking around. They finally ask King Herod, you know, where is he that's born king of the Jews? And they inquire of the scribes, and they tell him that obviously the Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So they're told to go and search, and when they leave King Herod, the star reappears to them to lead them to the house that the child is at, sitting there with his mother Mary. But God is the light. He's the source. And the Bible says in Psalm 104, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. I mean, just the glory of God. I mean, again, Moses wanted to see the glory of God, but could only see the backside. But you realize Moses reflected the light of God to the children of Israel when he came down from Mount Sinai? Because the Bible records in the Old Testament that when he came down, the brightness of his face was so bright it scared the people and they couldn't look upon him. They had to put a veil over his face. Because the closer you get, I mean, he's 40 days on Mount Sinai with the Lord. I mean, the closer you and I get to God, the brighter you're going to shine. The brighter your countenance is going to shine. There may not be a physical, light that just shines out, but there is a glow. There is a glow to a person who has a close walk with the Lord. You think about, I know every time my wife was pregnant, she just had this glow about her. She has a glow about her all the time. I mean, I'm just drawn to her. But there's this special glow that she would just have. You think about getting closer to the Lord, it's a light that illuminates, it's a glow that testifies of the grace of God in your life, the peace of God in your heart. It testifies of the relationship and how long, how long you spend with the Lord on a daily basis. You can tell Christians who don't spend much time with the Lord versus those that do spend a lot of time with the Lord because you can read their countenance. Have you ever asked another brother or sister in Christ how you doing, and you were asking them because you could tell on their face that they were troubled? You can tell when someone's bothered and troubled, right? And again, it doesn't always mean they don't have a walk with the Lord. They may have a lot of stuff on their mind. But you can always look at someone's face and tell, all right? Tell what's going on. But God being the source of this light because he's wrapped in light as with a garment. I love the fact that the Bible says in Revelation 21, the city, the New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Again, as our sun illuminates our day and then reflects, the moon reflects the light at night, those things are not needed in eternity. They're not needed in the New Jerusalem. They're not needed for the new earth that God is going to give us, the new earth that he creates, because it's his glory that shines for eternity. It's his glory that illuminates the New Jerusalem and illuminates this earth. And it is his glory that illuminates you in your life. It helps you to see things in your life that needs to go, whether it's a weight or a sin. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'm not taking all my flashlights with me. And I've got some flashlights. I've got some bright ones. There's some other ones I really want that are really supposed to just be bright for like a mile. I mean, I want some bright lights when I go camping and just to have fun with. But I won't need any of that in heaven because it's the glory of God. Now listen, it's not just for eternity, it's for your life now. Because what does God's glory, his light, do for you in your life? Well, when you look at the first night when Christ was born, his glory lit up the hearts of those shepherds. Those shepherds were afraid at first, and rightfully so. I would be afraid too if I'm out camping, all of a sudden, you know, these bright lights, I look up and, you know, here's these angels talking to me, right? It'd be pretty awesome, but I probably would freak out too and be scared myself. But the fact is, they went down into Jerusalem, down in Bethlehem, like they were told, and they went to the stable and they saw the child. And they walked away rejoicing and telling everybody what they had seen and what they had heard. Is your life the same now as it was before you were saved? I didn't say, do you still have problems like you did before you were saved? I said, is your life different? Because there is somebody with you every second of your life. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I love Paul when he says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm always asking God, show me something that's wrong in my life. Show me something that's in my heart that's not right, that I haven't noticed or maybe I've forgotten about. I want the Lord to shine his bright glory in my life so I can get rid of things, so I can get closer to him. But his glory, his light, guides you through this life. Because you don't always know when something is wrong or evil. You don't know when someone wants to take advantage of you, but you've got that feeling something's not right. And God has given you that. He has shown that to you. But again, God being the source of light, the Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, Jesus speaking, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the power and great glory. His light is brighter than the sun. I mean, again, as when I was a kid growing up, you know, my friends and I, we would do this on the brightest day. You know, you try to look up and stare at the sun as long as you can because you're trying to see the little round circle, and then, you know, you look away and what? You can't see, right? You're just blinded for a little bit until, you know, everything settles down. Can you imagine when the Lord returns on that great day? When he comes, his glory outshines the sun. The sun becomes black. The moon becomes like blood. Now, the sun is bright. Again, we can't stare at it, nor with the naked eye. But they've got telescopes and instruments now that they're recording all the solar flares on the sun, and you can watch that. And I showed that a while back, you know, in Sunday school. It's pretty awesome to be able to see that. But no matter the brightest star in the universe, the glory of God is brighter than that. Could you imagine you being outside, me being outside on one of the brightest days of summer, and a light appears that's brighter than the sun? Could you imagine experiencing that? Well, Paul did. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We looked at this in Sunday school, but remember, in Acts chapter 9, Paul is on the road to Damascus. He's stopped dead in his tracks by Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 26, he gives a testimony of that day and the events of that day and the events of that moment that Jesus appeared to him. And Paul says in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 12 through 15, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday or at noon, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Could you imagine being Paul on that day, and it's hot, and the sun is bright, the sun is just beating down on you, and all of a sudden this light appears that overpowers the sun. So the Bible talks about the glory of Jesus Christ. And Peter got to experience the glory of God on Mount Transfiguration, but we're going to experience the glory of Christ in the New Jerusalem, in heaven itself, heaven on earth. We're throughout eternity, the glory of God, brighter than the new day sun. My pastor years ago talked about when he was moving from Nebraska to Wisconsin to be the pastor of our church. He was packing up one day and loading up the U-Haul and everything, and down in the basement is where he had a little room that was his office, because he had pastored a church there, and he would take the stairs, you know, up out of the basement, straight outside. And he said he had done a really good job down there, you know, cleaning and stuff, you know, trying to keep it nice and tidy, you know, for the 3 years he was there, ministering to that church and doing his Bible study and all of that down in the basement. He said, and when he opened up the doors and let the natural light come in, he couldn't believe all the dust he had missed. Because he was real, and my pastor was very meticulous about things being cleaned and all of that, and he just testified he could not believe the dust that was on his desk, on his chair. He thought he had done a good job until the natural light shone that he had missed a lot. And that, again, that's what the glory of God does in our life. It shows us things that we've missed, things that the Lord wants us to see, to get rid of, to give it to him so that we can walk closer to the Lord. But this glory, his glory that shines brighter than a new day sun, and that it leaves us with Jesus is the light of the world. Again, when Jesus walked upon this earth, there were people just drawn to him, thousands drawn to him. But there were those that were lovers of darkness more than light that weren't drawn to him and would reject. Let me just remind us and even encourage you, be thankful for the day that the Lord shone in your life and drew you unto him, and you saw your need of calling upon him as your Savior. He showed you your need. I remember the day that I called upon the Lord. I'm good. You know, I went to church. I know heaven, hell. I know all that. And when I'm 80 and old, then I'll really get serious about the Lord. But the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our future. He knows that we need him more than we ever think we do. Now, once you get saved, you realize, man, I need the Lord a lot because I can't live this life. I can't live the Christian life without the Lord helping me. And thankfully, he's given us of his Holy Spirit. But the Lord is the light of the world that has helped us and has brought us into this relationship. And he shows us our need every day of leaning upon him and trusting him and following him. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm glad that he doesn't save to leave us in the darkness for us to fend for ourselves. Again, he's given us the light that illuminates our life and illuminates our path. I mean, even his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. He shows us where we're at, where we need to go, where he wants us to go. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. It's amazing here. He's given the title Son, S-U-N. S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Again, the Son of Righteousness. In John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. And again, he was the light of the world in the days he walked upon this earth. He drew people to himself. He showed people the love of God, the grace of God. He showed people their need of trusting him. And there were those that rejected. But as a child of God, you and I are to reflect the light of Christ in our life, among our families, among our friends, among our co-workers, even among God's people. We're to reflect the light of Christ. Now, obviously, we get encouragement among ourselves. I mean, I'm encouraged every time we gather together and I see you. I'm just encouraged. I don't know if you are. You're probably, oh, there's Pastor again. I don't know. But there's Sandra. There's Mrs. Middleton. Oh, we love seeing her. We love talking to her. Oh, Pastor. Right? Some people are like that. But we get that encouragement. But we are to reflect Christ because he's doing something in your life. Right? If you have a walk with the Lord and you read your Bible and you talk with the Lord and he talks with you and you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, you let the Holy Spirit cultivate his fruit in your life, and you're letting God do the work that he started in you, because he says he's going to finish it. But as you continue to live your life for the Lord and you continue to follow God and get closer to him, people are going to see the reflection of Christ in you. Now, they may disagree with you. They may not like you. But they won't be able to deny that they see Christ in you. Because the Pharisees said of Peter and John, they were ignorant fishermen. But they took notice they had been with Christ. Because there was something different. They're ordinary people, right? Aren't you glad that God came to save ordinary people? He came to save sinners, not the righteous, right? He came to give you and me an abundance of life. But we are to reflect the light, and we reflect it by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, right? Without the Holy Spirit in us, we were filled with darkness. We were darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have an illumination in you, have a light in you from the Father, from God, that lights up your life and lights up your spiritual life so that you don't walk in darkness. You walk in light. In fact, look at 1 John chapter 1. We're almost done. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And you look at verse 7. Well, actually, you know what? Let's even back up to verse 5 again. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God does call us to walk in light, right? We have the light in us. He wants us to walk in that light. He's given us, obviously, the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and he's given us of his word, the Holy Scriptures. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star is Jesus Christ. But we are to let the word of God dwell richly in us, guiding us, lighting our path in the dark place we live. We live in a dark world. And the word of God is that lamp and that light guiding us and leading us according to God's will. God wants us to be led by the light of his word, by the light of the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Man, the darker the night, the brighter the light. I mean, this world's just getting darker and darker and darker sinfully, right? And evil. But the darker it gets, the brighter we're supposed to shine. The brighter we're supposed to shine. We are supposed to hide God's word in our heart. Walk in the light. Walk with Christ daily. Don't skip out on it. Spend that quality time with him in scripture, in the word, obeying, following what he is doing in your life, letting him shine in your life. Again, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul's telling the believers at Philippi, hold forth the word of life, because this is light. I've heard testimonies of pastors counseling other people that had some demonic problems. And as soon as he would open the Bible, everything was fine until he would open up the Bible and they would just not want it. Close that book. Close that book. Because the demons hate the brightness of God's word. They can't stand it. They can't stand the brightness of God's word. Why do you think God's word is fought so much? Why do you think there's such a debate even among Christians, which version? Because the devil knows that God's word illuminates. It's bright. It really does expel the evilness and the wickedness. Why do you think they want the Bible, wanted it out of courtrooms, out of you know, the Ten Commandments, out of courtrooms, the Bible out of schools? I mean, they don't want anybody. No Bible clubs, no nothing. But hey, I was in Madison, Wisconsin for 25 years in the high schools. One of the last years I was there, they invited leaders from all different religions except true Christianity, except for Baptists. Invited them in to talk about their faith to the high schoolers. Even the Satanists were allowed to come in and talk about their faith. And I shared some of that this morning in Sunday school with you. Just, some of the capital cities and, in different states are just having these, satanic, monuments and stuff. Not monuments, but things set up there in the, in the entrance of their capitals and stuff. It's just the way the world's going. But it should not affect God's people. Because we still believe God's word. We still hold God's word up in our life. We still allow God's word to guide us and to change us. Therefore, it's going to illuminate in our life. But another good thing about light is that it restores. Light restores. Look, if you would, very quickly at verse 12. Going back to John chapter 1 and looking at verse 12. Because the light of Christ really does restore a life that was bound by darkness. It really does. And the Bible says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A life can truly be restored that's been broken, that's been devastated by life and darkness. Darkness that maybe the person brought on themselves. Now, everyone's born a sinner and born with sin nature. But sometimes people go down a path they never expected to go down, never expected certain things to happen in their life, never expected themselves to get into certain things in this world that really devastates their life and has taken a toll upon them, that some have even lost their mind. They have lost family. And just have lost the way of life. Nobody is too far from being saved by Christ. I'm trying to help some people that aren't really in the right mind. Because I know the power of Christ can change them. I can't. I can't convince anybody that they need Jesus Christ or that Jesus Christ can change them and help them. But if they see a difference in somebody, they see the power of Christ that has transformed another person, it gives them hope, and the Holy Spirit works in their heart. The Holy Spirit helps them to see their need and helps them to have faith and hope that, you know what, Jesus Christ is the one. I mean, when you read through the Gospels, there were some that Jesus specifically went to. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, the man at the pool of Siloam. There were certain people he went to specifically, but then there were others he would intentionally walk past. Blind Bartimaeus, the Lord intentionally walked past him, and though he's crying out, Lord, Son of David, he kept ignoring him. And he was crying out so much some more, and Jesus was ignoring him, that his disciples came and said, tell him to be quiet. He's getting a little too loud. And the Lord said, the Lord called back to him and basically said, what do you need? And Bartimaeus worshiped him, Son of God. I mean, he asked for his blindness and he got what he needed because he wouldn't give up. He just kept seeking Christ, even though Christ seemingly was ignoring him. Have you ever felt in your life the Lord seemingly ignoring you, not answering your cries, not coming to you when you need him, and you're tempted to just give up on the Lord? Don't. Because you know what's going to happen? The light of Christ is going to illuminate your faith. It's going to help you because Christ is shining his glory in your life. He sees your faith, but he wants to strengthen it. He wants your resolve to be stronger that, you know what, even if it seems like he's ignoring me, I'm still going to follow him. What if somebody were to call you a name? What if I were to say, you dog? I mean, what if I just came up to you and said, you know what, you're really a dog. Somebody would probably slap me or hit me or, you know, I'm never coming to this church again. Or some people would know I'm kidding, but I wouldn't even kid like that. But you realize in Scripture, Jesus called a woman a dog. The Syrophoenician woman, the mother that came to Jesus because her woman was possessed and being tormented by demons, and she came to Jesus and begged for his help, and he kind of ignored her. And then, you know, he said, you know, I came to the lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come for you. I mean, he said some things to her, and he basically called her a dog. I mean, you remember that in Scripture. But she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And he goes, he basically recognized her faith. Now, some will get hung up on, how could Jesus call her a dog? Forget that. Look at the whole picture. He was testing her. He was testing her. And she would not give up. She wouldn't give up. And guess what? The light of his glory shone in her life through her daughter, through her daughter who was healed. I'm just saying that, yes, bad things happen. Sometimes, you know, God may not seemingly answer your prayer request right away. It may seem like, you know, he's taking time. But again, we still rely on Scripture like Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord, right? Your strength will be renewed. God will help you as you wait on the Lord, right? But God wants his glory to be reflected in your life as you wait. Has your life been restored? Have you been made whole by Jesus Christ? Hopefully you have. Hopefully you have. The devil still wants to rob you of that light. Still wants to rob you of that light. But don't let him. Keep stirring up that light with the word of God. Keep allowing yourself to be faithful to the Lord, to obey the Lord, because Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And hopefully you have already received the light of Jesus Christ in your life. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And what a wonderful record that you have as a child of God. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And it's a wonderful light that just shines in your life, that even on your worst day, the Holy Spirit still shines in your life and reminds you you're a child of the King. You haven't been left. You haven't been deserted. I mean, that light just illuminates the path that you're walking. Keep following God's path. Keep relying upon His light through the Holy Spirit, through His Word. Keep yielding yourself to that light. There's a lot of artificial lights in the world. Artificial lights as far as religious artificial lights are leading people away from the source of light, away from God, away from Christ. Keep following the true source of light. Keep reflecting that light in your life. Even this time of year, as you open up presents, remember to thank the Lord for His present of salvation, a present that never gets old, that cannot be robbed. It never gets dull, it never breaks. It doesn't need you and me to fix it, because it is an eternal gift.